Awesome.
Okay.
Hopefully that's back. Because we keep a recording and we keep transcript for posterity, and we use the chat very intentionally to cue speakers, to put links in the chat that people might want to reference. And so I'd invite you to use Q Plus if you have something that you would like to say. Part of what I'll be doing today is moderating that discussion. And as people are putting themselves on the queue, I'll try to keep the conversation moving along. If you decide you want to remove yourself from the queue, you can use Q minus. And otherwise, I think that should get us going. And if you have any challenges, you can just put those in the chat as well, and we'll get it sorted so that you can have your thoughts and questions as a part of the conversation. And now I am to introductions and reintroductions. Is anybody new to the community today that would like to introduce themselves, or anybody who hasn't been here for a while that would like to let us know what they've been up to? Okay, I feel like I've let us be uncomfortably silent for long enough. So I will move on to announcements and reminders. Does anyone have anything they want to share with the community that they know is going on? Everybody is very anxious to get to our main topic of the day. Carrie, do you want to jump in real quick and share about the GIF hackathon?
Actually, I was going to share, tell a little bit more.
Okay. I'll save it for later.
Yeah, so I just put the link in there for now. If people
great. Want yep. The link is available.
Thank you.
All right. And how about work items? Does anybody have anything they want to address regarding our work items? Okay. Without further ado, Carrie and company, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves and take it away. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you, Kimberly. So thank you for that kind intro. That was really, really great. We appreciate that. We have our whole team here today. Everyone's going to take part in our presentation. And Gillian is going to share the screens, the slides, I mean. Let her get those up.
One second.
All right.
Okay, bear with me. I'm new to Jitsi.
There you go.
A good?
Perfect. Thank you. All right, everybody. I don't think my name is new to you, because I'm a huge believer in the work that we're all doing. I'm a co-chair of VC Edu, but today I'm here with my director hat on for the Digital Credentials Consortium, and I'm here with our team to tell you more about who we are, what we do, and I'm here to answer any sort of questions you might have about us. Next slide, please. So this reflection thing is pretty cool. Anyway, the DCC was founded actually in 2018. You may recognize the name Kim Hamilton Duffy. She was one of the folks who helped to found this. We had, I don't remember how many members founded. I think it was 12 members that founded. We now have 14 members in 7 different countries. The aim of the DCC was really to take the expertise that these institutions had about verifiable credentials and really promote that work and seek alignment with verifiable credentials in the education space. So our aim is really to advance the use and understanding of VCs in higher education. Next slide, please. I'm going to only speak a little bit here because everybody else on the team has far more interesting things to tell you about, but I just wanted to introduce them a little bit here. This awesome team helps keep everything running. we support our members in all the various ways, and really participate in all of this work and all of the standards work. So Gillian will tell you a little bit about our operations and community efforts. And Alex and James and Dimitri will talk some about our software, open source software, and also our standards work and our community work. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is the slide that has the most on it. So I'm going to talk here for a little bit and then pass it on to the team. So what we do primarily is we support our members, right? And we try to follow their guidance and their input on what is needed out of verifiable credentials for higher education. And with them, we develop open source software, and we take their input and work on standards. We do some co-development with them. Our core, we have two types of memberships. We have core members and members, and we do some bespoke development with our core members. Mm-hmm. But for all of our members, we do vendor advocacy. So we will talk to their vendors and help them understand how verifiable credentials work, point them to our software to help them implement it. We're also working on producing more documentation, so case studies, so that other higher ed institutions can understand or and relate to like what other people have implemented. Our open source software is all MIT licensed, so it's as open source as it can be. And we develop it for their needs, but we put it out to the world for others to use. Because we believe in that. We believe in open standards, open source, and open communities. Speaking of communities, Kim Hamilton Duffy actually founded VC Edu. It's a task force here at the CCG that is working on the education alignment with verifiable credentials. Dimitri Zagadulin, who's on our team, is also still the co-chair there. We're also collaborating with the Open Wallet Foundation. You'll see that we have a wallet called the Learner Credential Wallet, and we are moving our code over to that organization so that we can sort of expand input and you know, broaden interest in the wallet code. We are very instrumental in development of open badges. I'm somebody who's been involved with open badges for a very long time. We believe in open recognition. We also offer deployment support. So in addition to our membership funding, which helps support us, support our team, we also get some grant funding, and some of that includes supporting deployments of other, like, non-members who are implementing verifiable credentials. So we do a little bit of that, too. For research, so right now, we do a bunch of, like, research approaches, right? We kind of consider ourselves a bit of an applied research lab, so to speak. So what we do is try and stay ahead of the game in terms of what education needs and implement, you know, software and think about standards and then, you know, help other people understand it and try it out before they get to it. One of the projects that we are working on right now this year is an issuer registry project with Credential Engine, which is another organization in our space that has a language called a credential description transparency language. And they also have like a directory, a search engine basically to find credentials that are like employment and education related. And we're working with them to sort of look into and research and prototype issuer registries for learning and employment records specifically. So we are evaluating any trust registry that we can find. We are looking into governance specifically related to education and employment credentials. And we'll be building out prototypes, testing those out with our software, releasing all of this as open source, and then putting out a report in the spring with some recommendations. We think about this as like foundational research for issuer registries, and we hope that others will be able to take that and, you know, build upon it from there. Alex will talk a little bit more about how we are also working with Render Method in our wallet, doing some PDF rendering of credentials. Dimitri might mention a little bit about something we've just started working on, which is wallet-attached storage, which is a way for individuals to choose where they want their credentials to be stored versus just in the data on the mobile wallets. And then also we recently did some issuing load testing, and hopefully we get that report out by the end of the year. And we did this. So this is an example of how we work. We did this because one of our members told us, well, we issue, like we might sign 20,000 credentials at once. You know, what do we need for servers to do that? So we started testing that out so we could let them know. We thought we'd write it up for the community. So we should have that up soon. And then also, if that isn't enough stuff to keep us busy, we also do like advocacy and education. So we're participating in something called the LER Higher Ed Accelerator. And this is run by ACPRO, which is the registrar's organization in the U.S., and at least 12 other organizations in higher ed who are promoting the use of verifiable credentials in education. And this is a huge thing because they are going to be pushing on vendors and registrars to start implementing this. And also, you know, we write white papers, and we have a new blog that we're starting to publish to more frequently. All right, I think that is pretty good rundown of what we do. I'm happy to answer questions later on, but I'm going to pass this on to Alex, who's going to tell you more about our software.
Great. Thanks, Carrie.
Sure.
So like Carrie mentioned, we do work on a lot on open source projects, and I'll talk a little bit about them here. Altogether, they make up our issuer holder verifier ecosystem. We've listed them here with some QR codes in case you're interested in checking them out, checking out the repos or, you know, just some more information on each. And I'll just briefly go through our list. The first of two James will talk about in a later slide. So the issue coordinator issues microservices, and the app works by coordinating calls to a signing service and a status service, each of themselves running as express apps, which with all three apps running together within Docker Compose. But I'll let James talk a bit more about that later. The admin dashboard is a system for providing groups like enterprises, schools, and organizations with a straightforward way to issue VCs in bulk. And again, James will talk about that. The Learner Credential Wallet is a cross-platform iOS and Android mobile app for storing and sharing digital learner credentials. And Verifier Plus is our DCC-hosted website for verifying credentials and allows users to verify any supported digital academic credential. And it's made with Next.js. So next slide, please. Thank you.
Are you saying, okay.
Yep, thanks. So I'll go into the wallet itself here, and this is where we house our learning credentials. You can see a screenshot here of our UI and how we present the VCs to the user. The wallet specification that we use is based on the W3C Universal Wallet Interoperability Specification and the W3C Verifiable Credentials Data Model. It gets support from the U.S. Department of Education. This wallet is React Native based, which means it could get published to both iOS and Android seamlessly, which really helps with development. Anyone can fork this wallet on GitHub and customize it for their institution. We do provide templates as well. It's private in that we don't collect or store information on our end about, you know, the user's info. It also implements the render method that uses HTML over SVG, since we noticed that some of our users of the wallet had trouble displaying long names when exporting to PDF. And the wallet is fully open source. It uses the VC data model, Open Badges 3.0, VC API, as well as Trappy, and signature methods and open standards too. And going forward, we're currently in the process of transitioning ownership of the wallet to the Open Wallet Foundation over at the Linux Foundation, with the hopes of garnering more open source community support in continuing to develop the wallet. Next slide, please. Thank you. All right. Our Verifier Plus project is a DCC hosted site for verifying VCs. It's a tool for uploading credentials, and it allows users to verify any supported digital academic credential. It uses unique public links in the form of URLs for sharing online that can be destroyed whenever. So hence it's privacy preserving because sharing isn't tracked. The VC shown here is just an example that can provide a public link for credentials. Also sharing on LinkedIn via the wallet where it gets uploaded to V Plus, which provides the public URL. And for anybody here that's interested, if you wanted to just kind of test this out, I provided a link to a spreadsheet where you can provide your name and email address, and we can send you a sample credential via email. And I think that's it for me. I'll pass it over to James now.
Thanks, Alex. So Alex went over the holder and verifier parts of the ubiquitous verifiable credentials triangle, and I'll talk a little bit about the issuer part of that triangle. So it's basically, it's very simple. It's just a set of services that are VC API conformant. These are Dockerized Node.js apps, Express apps. We publish images for each of these apps in Docker Hub. And the part of the reason for that is just so that we don't want people when they're trying out this software, because we found that a really important part of what we're doing, as Carrie said, is advancing the use and understanding of verifiable digital credentials. And a big part of that is trying to make it as easy as possible for our members to evaluate the software and also to understand what's involved with digital credentialing. So by splitting everything up into these much smaller, discrete services, it allows some of the people that are doing the evaluations, so specifically the tech people at the different universities and colleges, to really get kind of under the hood and understand exactly what's going on. So, for example, with the signing service, they can see, oh, I post a verifiable credential to the signing service and I get back the same verifiable credential with the proof that's been attached. So it's kind of a way to help them understand more easily what's going on. So we publish up images to Docker Hub. And as I said, these services can be used individually, like the signing service, or they can be wired together typically in something like a Docker Compose that simply references the images in Docker Hub. A prime example of how the services can be put together is the admin dashboard that we have. So this is a Docker Compose that wires together a bunch of the different services. So the workflow coordinator, Bitstring status list, the signing service, and a coordinator, as well as the UI front end for interacting with the credentials. So some of the features of the dashboard, for those of you that want to give it a try. And again, the dashboard is kind of a nice way to get into, the services that we offer. We've got a Docker Compose put together that you can get to from the link that's up at the top of that slide there, the deployment guide. And you can start up that Docker Compose very easily with a single command, provided you've got Docker installed on your computer. And if you do, then you can fire it up, and then you can take a look and see how we've made it pretty easy for people to upload CSV data into the admin dashboard, browse some of the credentials that they've uploaded, set up a template for the VC that you'd like to issue, set up an email template for the emails that will get sent out to the recipients of the credentials, and a way to do exactly that, send the credentials out so that the recipients receive emails. We've also got revocation in there. And again, I mentioned that we use the Bitstring status list so that you can go into this admin dashboard and do the revocation. Some of the documentation that we provide for all of this is that we've got GitHub readmes for all of the GitHub repositories, and they're pretty comprehensive. The deployment guide, which again is linked from the top of that slide, tries to provide an introduction specifically for our members. So for people that might not be so familiar with everything that's involved with setting up a digital credentialing system, to try to take them through, you know, some of the issues and point out some of the choices that they have. As part of that deployment guide, we've also got starter compose files. So you can take a look at those and you can fire those up, which will fire up our simple issuer coordinator or the admin dashboard and let you get going and try it out. And that's about it. I will pass it over to Dimitri.
All right. As part of the work that Carrie and Alex and James described, we come up against basically all the corner cases in a lot of the specs we work on in the CCG. We came up against, for example, let's take the render method. So we created the issuer service, a verifier service, and a wallet. And one of the things that we kept hearing from customers is, okay, but can I print this to a PDF? I've got this verifiable credential. Is there any chance I can make a PDF out of it? And so we're like, okay, yeah, let's explore some of that. And we took a look at the early sort of specifications being worked on in the various communities, compared and contrasted, and took a look at the render method protospec, and we're like, yeah, let's use this. And so we put together a prototype demo of this is how you render a credential using a template that is carried inside the credential. And are helping along with that spec. So basically all of the specifications that we use, such as, you know, verifiable credential, but also the protocols like VCAPI, the data models like OneEdTex, Open Badges version 3, which is based on verifiable credentials. Whenever we come across a corner or an edge case that doesn't have what the use case needs or what the education space needs, we like to contribute back to the specs and work with all of you to make it happen. So that's basically what this slide is about. The CTDL advisory groups thing is interesting because, so again, we've just started talking about sort of trust registries in this community, right? Over the last couple of years. We understand that when you hand somebody a verifiable credential and it's signed by a key, the key is opaque to the verifier, or a DID, rather. The DID is still opaque with a verifier. And so they need to look it up somewhere in some directory that says, okay, this opaque DID is mapped to this known entity, and the entity is authorized to issue such and such credentials. So we need a spec for that. And there is half a dozen or more current specifications that are dealing with that, including CCGs, verified issuers and verifiers, the OpenID Foundation's OpenID Federation spec, the DIF, I always forget what it's called, it's like Trust Establishment spec, but also Trust over IP, and a bunch of others, right? So there's a number of applications. So one of the projects we're involved in with Credential Engine is basically comparing and contrasting all of the trust registry specifications and then picking one or two and operating a registry for a year and writing about what it was like to operate. So it's that kind of work of first look at the existing specs, see which ones need to be expanded, and then let's get some hands-on implementation experience with it so that we can feed back to the various organizations. I think I'll stop there and hand over to the next slide, unless there's questions.
Awesome. Thank you, Dimitri. Let me just run through this and Carrie's got a few more points and then, yeah, we'll be happy to take questions from the group. A big part of what we do at the GCC is also working to make sure that, materials and resources that help people better understand, how they can both learners using their data, issuers providing the best options for their clients, and verifiers learning the best way to obtain skills or to learn about the skills and achievements of folks, is by making these resources available publicly. And so just an overview of where and how we offer these things. Our website, digitalcredentials@mit.edu, has some white papers and research on it. But our wiki, which is linked here, is quite a trove of information that is ever growing. So it contains info on verifiable credentials in general and how and our rationale for promoting their adoption in higher education and beyond, And also the case studies that Carrie mentioned earlier. All of our open source code is available at our GitHub org, in here. And I think we'll share these slides out with the group afterwards, I imagine, so that you have that link and also the link that, directly to the deployment guide. So you can see more, about the, how to deploy the Issuer tools and the Learning Credential Wallet, as James and Alex were talking about earlier. Some of you may have already heard about this LER ecosystem map. This was a collaborative effort to kind of map the ecosystem, to show who are the different stakeholders that are involved in the learning and employment record or LER ecosystem, how they, what their work streams are, where they interact, and, what are some kinds of action items folks can take to promote adoption. We host quarterly community calls that are spotlighting the interesting work that's being done in the space. Whether that's around, you know, verifiable credentials or, developing interesting, like, approaches to governance for micro-credentials, any of those types of things. If you have an initiative that you think is cool and aligns with the GCC, please feel free to reach out and we can talk about potentially hosting you on a community call. We're going to mention a little bit more about membership, I think, in a slide, but just to dangle the carrot, we do have a technical working group that's for our members. We hold those monthly, and plenty of other internal meetings for our member institutions. But we also do host, tech and membership office hours. And so once a month, and I can send follow up with information on like when those are exactly and how they do require registration. So how you can register for them. But if you're not a member and you just have, tech support questions, you can join the tech office hours. And Alex and James and Dimitri or one or all three, some combination will be there to answer your questions. And then once monthly, if you have inquiries around membership and what the different benefits are, I host the membership office hours, once a month as well. Those are open to the public. Real quick, because this kind of scrambled to add one last slide about membership. There is plenty of info on the wiki about this. So we have two tiers of membership, core member and member. The main distinction being that, we do focus much of our efforts on supporting the goals and needs of the membership in the entire consortium, but the core members get much more kind of bespoke, technical support. So if there's something a core member wants or needs, we will, you know, prioritize, creating or iterating on that technology. But if you're interested, if you represent a post-secondary or higher education institution anywhere in the world, we encourage you to reach out. Carrie, I'll hand it back over to you for anything I missed about membership or and these announcements in general.
No, you did great. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Before I get into the announcements, I just sort of want to reemphasize our focus on our membership. And I'm not sure we'll ever be like a very huge consortium. We want to be big enough that we are addressing needs and learning more, right? We'd like to just really, really believe in global interoperability, and we really believe in individual access to their data and privacy. And so we know this is a very important angle, and we know that the education space is very interested in this. And we really do believe in community, and that's what we're trying to build out at the DCC. If you know of anybody who is interested, please have them reach out and we'd be happy to talk to them. So some announcements. Diff Hackathon, I mentioned this, so I put the link in the chat earlier. So if you haven't heard, Diff is hosting a substantial hackathon. It's going on right now through November 4th. That link right there will get you to the page that explains more. I was just going to pull it up so I could look at it too. Bear with me here. So the education and let's see there. Yep. Okay. So the education workforce strand has a whole bunch of different challenges. One is for demonstrating applications where people are using verifiable credentials. So this one's pretty open. This is for learning and employment experiences. We're looking for people to propose, you know, credential types, data models, and show how they can be used. We're also looking for more power and VC tools. So multiple language support, because we know that we all need that, but we really need it in education, especially to promote like cross-border mobility. And also browser integration. One of our members had suggested, wouldn't it be great if we could just have more browser integrations with verifiable credentials? Maybe even using render method, right? How can you plug in a VC into the browser and just look at it? Because part of what we want to do is really encourage, you know, not just understanding, but ease of use. Other just tasks that you could do as part of the hackathon. One is to use render method, to suggest how credentials could be displayed in the Learner Credential Wallet. This came right out of PlugFest feedback. So all of these tasks are really based on a continuation of the PlugFest that JFF and VC Edu had in the past. So we are really looking at, like, how can we display credentials better in wallets? Because we know there's so much data that could be displayed, how would wallets decide what to show? And also the same for Verifier Plus. We are sort of looking for ideas as how to improve Verifier Plus. Because it's all open source, we welcome anybody to join and get prizes. The prizes are pretty substantial, between like $2,000 and $2,500 for some of them. So definitely check that out and join us for that. Next, coming soon, so we are working on a work item for the CCG. It kind of got paused just due to travels and conferences. We're working on this with JFF and also DIF and others. Working on an item for a credential templates directory. And this is a place where people could put examples of data models and credentials to help others, you know, understand how to build out the contents of VCs. At the DCC, we don't really focus on the insides of the credentials, although we try to support what our members need. But what we really want to do is provide examples so people can understand how to do it. And the more similarities we have, right, the more interoperability we'll encourage. So stay tuned for that. We're filling out the forms and should be back in a few weeks or so to present that here. And then also what we're working on with our members is a degree credential template, which would go into this templates directory. And we've been working with our members and also looking at the European learning model to determine what a degree could look like as a verifiable credential using standards like open badges and European learning model. And so we'd like to get some examples out to the world and help people understand why verifiable credentials are great formats for degrees. And then lastly, I'm just putting IIW on here. I think most people here know IIW is coming up. Sadly, I will miss it, but most of our team will be there, and I hope you all have a great time. And that is it for our presentation, I believe, unless the team has anything else they'd like to add that I forgot. Or otherwise, open to questions.
Patrick.
Another quick question about the sharing feature of the wallet. When you mentioned sharing, is it just the wallet would display the credential for a software to have a look at, or are we talking about sort of a presentation request based sharing from the wallet?
I'll start that answer, Patrick, but then I'll hand it over to the team to get into more details. One is that we make it possible to create a share link, like a public URL, that goes to Verifier Plus. So an individual could create a link for their credential and then share it anywhere, like on LinkedIn or where have you, and it would show as verifiable in real time. But we do also do like exchanges and presentations, and maybe I'll ask Dimitri if you might want to describe, Dimitri, how we set that up with the wallet. I'm putting him on the spot here.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. So if I understand your question correctly, Patrick, this rendering template Is it just for the wallet? Is it for other software? And the answer is, so fortunately it can be used for both. Render method, for those who are not familiar with it, I highly recommend taking a look at the CCG draft spec. It's for various things. One is, yes, it's an aid for how to display unfamiliar credential types, right? So at the moment, pretty much all wallet implementations for each new credential type, the display screens are hard-coded. That's how it started out. And so when the question becomes, so what happens if we want our wallets to be general purpose? What happens when a wallet encounters a new and unfamiliar credential? How do we display it? Well, we can dictate a couple of fields in common, right? We can say we would very much prefer if all verifiable credentials have a name property or a description property. That way our wallets can at least display that. So that's one approach. The other approach is, of course, to have this list item rendering template. And yes, of course, there's all sorts of security considerations. You want to make sure that whatever template that you use, whether it's SVG or HTML or something else, that you want to make sure and sanitize it to make the display secure. But yeah, so displaying the wallet is one use case for a render method. Second use case is for any sort of verifier or relying party once they receive the credential. It would be nice for them to be able to display to the user new and unfamiliar credential types. And then the third sort of major class of use cases is to switch between different display modalities. For example, how would you render a credential in audio for conversational interfaces? How would you render a credential for a Braille or other assistive technology? And how would you render a credential when somebody hits print, right? So we have a chance, just like HTML web pages, when you hit print, there's a technology for the designer to be able to control what happens. There's print directives in cascading style sheets. This is a similar sort of thing for, okay, when I want to print out the credential or when I want to export it to another format, such as PDF, the software can turn to the render method template. Does that answer your question?
That is interesting. Albert, that wasn't exactly my question, but this was all interesting information. I was asking more in the concept, like if I have a wallet, I have, I don't know, a couple diplomas in there, and then I need to present one of these specific diplomas to a verifier. Is it my job to select which one I want to present, provide a public URL, and then show this to the verifier, or is it a way for the verifier to ask the wallet directly? And then sort
the
of
latter. Well, so yeah, great question. So at least in the way we're using it so far, and in the way the render method paper was sort of envisioned, it's not meant to communicate the structure of the credential during presentation. Okay. There are other specs that do that. For example, the diff presentation exchange spec tries to do that. So here the idea is not that the render method, the template, participates directly in the exchange protocol. It's more that once the requester receives the credential, once the verifier receives the credential, how they display it afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Other questions? Harrison.
Yeah, can I have just one more? So regarding the, you said when I get issued a credential, I get a shared URL. is there any mechanism to prevent like credential hijacking? So it was mentioned that these URL could be deactivated. So I guess they are just random URL that are generated, and it's based on the fact that only the recipient would know this URL. Is there additional sort of authentication mechanism to these URL, or they're just really a public URL that someone needs to know to get the credential?
Yeah, great question. Great question. So let's talk about that. So I think the share URL problem is going to be familiar to any of you who are wallet implementers, right? The moment, so say we get everything right. We have our issuers working. We have our nice wallets. We've got the workflow where, let's say a student gets a diploma or a course completion credential into their wallet. Then the question becomes, so now what? What can they do with it? And one of the most frequently asked sort of features is, well, can I email it to someone, or can I text it to someone? So the first sort of generation of implementations just added it as an attachment, like literally the raw JSON of the credential, just slap it as an attachment to an email and email it. Very doable, very easy to implement. The problem is, of course, the receiver doesn't know what to do with it. So what us and a lot of other teams independently have stumbled against is, it would be nice to, instead of sending it as an attachment, to save the raw JSON of the credential somewhere accessible on the net. Because then you can do one of two things. You can either send the direct link, although you have the same problem as an attachment. What's the receiver going to do with raw JSON? But better yet, you can feed that link to a viewer app. So instead of sending example.com myvc.json, you can say example.com/viewer app and then pass in myvc.json as a query parameter. That's a much nicer experience, that render app landing page. So that's what, for example, Verifier Plus does. What, one of the things it allows you to do is it provides some free storage space for people to save their credentials in the cloud, and then they can pass in that link to various viewer apps and verifier apps and so on. But to get back to your question, so what about access control? Yes, so that's under control of the implementer and the user. We're gonna recommend that, so a couple of things. One is, to start with, in our implementation, we just started with public credentials with no access control. So it is a random link, and we're careful in the UI to say, okay, now remember, this is just for public credentials, because anybody can pass along your link and people will be able to view it there, right? So don't put highly secret things, don't use this method for sharing for highly secret credentials. As we can all probably picture, that's very limited. We don't want to just rely on the UI and user instructions for anything like that. So we do want to add some kind of access control there. Now, because the user can hopefully controls the storage that they're saving it to, that they're sharing it to, the user can always delete the credential from that storage. So the link breaks. And again, that's not the best experience, but at least the user has that sense of control. The user can't, for example, and this is a very real example that works right now, I can save, like, manually download the raw JSON, put it in my Google Drive, and then share it as a file. And then I can use the authorization from Google Drive, right? The either people or groups or anyone with the link, right? I can use that. But we're also, and this is where the concept of wallet-attached storage comes in, we'd also like to standardize, right? Like, we don't want all of these disparate cloud services like Google Drive and Dropbox and Microsoft OneDrive and all of these things. All of them have slightly different incompatible clients and different incompatible access control models. It would be great if we could use some of this tech of DIDs and verifiable credentials and authorization capabilities to standardize, to unify that storage interface so that wallet users can get used to it, can start getting educated about it. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Harrison?
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, where are we on the kind of the adoption cycle? In other words, like, are higher ed institutions, like, issuing the credentials or using this to verify it? Or if not yet, like, where are we on that?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit to that, Harrison. So some of our members we know are issuing verifiable credentials. Some of them are issuing them as degrees, and some of them are issuing as micro-credentials or badges. I would say it's still really early. Like, we are still really much ahead of the curve. So that project that I spoke about, the LER Higher Ed Accelerator, is really intended to bring on board understanding in higher ed. One of the reasons the DCC is focusing on degrees versus other types of credentials in education is because a lot of institutions are already issuing some kind of digital format of a degree, so it's an easy conversation to have with their IT department. So we're not there. It's early, but that's like part of what we're doing. And so we're trying to make it, you know, easy to understand and as useful as possible, so that, we start increasing adoption. Open Badges 3.0 just was finalized this last spring. So I think there are many institutions who are just keeping an eye on what others are doing. And I expect for the next couple of years, we'll see a lot more issuing.
Thank you.
Sure. I should also say here and said that on the verifying side, so a lot of work that's happening in the education and workforce space has to do with something called skills-based hiring. And they are really focused on working with employers to define skills inside of these credentials and that will help people get jobs. So I think there's a lot of work happening right there in terms of that work. So for like social mobility, helping people get hired faster, helping people get hired who don't have degrees, that kind of stuff.
Got it. And by the way, just a quick note, you probably already know this, but a lot of companies, when they do skill-based hiring, the skills definition, we just use LinkedIn Talent Insights. And then I know LinkedIn has spent a lot of money and a lot of resources like categorizing and like do standardizing these definitions. So you might want to look into it if you haven't looked into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Harrison.
Patrick. Oh, no. Sorry. Stephen.
Yeah, thank you.
Ignoring you, Stephen.
I was not quite sure how this works with the Q plus thing. My question is, I assume in the educational VCs, you use a date for the subject to bind it to the person. And so out of that, I'm kind of thinking, well, so if I can actually store the credential for a long time, that's good. But if I cannot store the private key associated to the subject date, then I can no longer really prove that I am the person that it's bound to. And of course, you can refer back to first name, last name, and things like that to link it. But I just want to double check if that true? Are you using a subject date? And if so, what kind of sort of operational practice does need to be established for people to know they need to kind of store the private key as well for decades, right? When they still want to, you know, prove that they are actually the person linked in the VC.
Yeah, that is a great question. I'll say a little bit here, but others on the team might want to jump in. I can explain mechanically that we're using DidKey. When someone downloads the wallet and installs it, we create a profile associated with a DID key, and they can create additional profiles for additional DIDs if they'd like. And then when they request the credential from the issuer, that DID is sent to the issuer so that it can be signed as part of the subject of the credential. Part of why we're looking at a degree data models is the identity part. Degrees are considered somewhat, I won't say legal officially, but you know, they're more legal documents and they often contain, like names, right? So in these cases right now, we are just really relying on putting, identification, like names inside of the credential subject. Because it's all real new, we haven't really done too much about, you know, storing the keys forever. But I assume Dimitri and others on the team like may have something to say about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think all the verticals are going to need to answer that question, and not just education. Like Carrie mentioned, one of the reasons it's nice to work in education as a vertical is low expectations, meaning people are already used to looking at a lot of the credentials, such as diplomas or public certifications, as public credentials. So there's less privacy concern, there's less user pushback for using their legal names, because when applying, those legal names are still going to be checked, and so on. I'd like to look at this question of should you use DIDs in a credential on a spectrum, right? So imagine a left to right spectrum. On the very left are low threat, low value credentials, such as, I don't know, a 50 cents off coupon off of breakfast cereal. You can model that coupon as a verifiable credential. Do you need to bind it to a subject? Well, not in all cases. In some cases, the credentials are so low value, low threat that you might not even need to bother. You can just use them as bearer credentials. All the way on the other end of the scale is high value, high threat use cases where biometrics are required, right? So it's not only are you going to have a subject DID and bind it cryptographically, but the use case requires, for legal reasons, that legal identity is bound to it, picture, voice, print, and so on, right? So imagine 50 cents off coupon on one end and access to a military installation on the other. So credentials with only a DID but no legal identity form a narrow band in the middle of that spectrum. To the left of that band, you don't need the legal, and to the right of that band, you are required to have the legal. But the number of use cases where we can get away with just the subject DID without anything else are actually fairly narrow. So I want everybody to keep that in mind.
And Dimitri, just so real quick, then maybe is it then true that you would bind to the subject DID, or you would not, or you would just simply leave it optional?
For the moment, we're leaving it optional for our issuers to see how it all develops.
Yeah, I think it would be valuable to make the private key, if you have a wallet as well, to make the private key exportable as well. And then you just store in a highly secured environment the credential and, yes, actually the private key matching to it, so that you online at least can prove ownership over it.
Funny you should mention. I totally agree. One of the specs that we're collaborating with Diff on is specifically a wallet export container. A secure container where you can export not only the credentials, but also the DIDs and private keys, with all of the caveats and security warnings of
doing that. Exactly. Yeah, thank you. That clarifies it. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone from DCC for sharing with us. And I hope everyone has a great rest of your day.
Look forward to seeing you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thank you.